I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a blessing to be part of the family of God. Amen. Greetings also from Africa, from Ghana, West Africa. Greetings from Daniel and Christy Keniston. And greetings from the church there in Tomale. sometimes when we're traveling, they tell us, greet all your people for us. And greetings are a big thing in Africa. I think it's not quite so big in America, but yes, so greetings from the church in Tomale there. I hope you're not offended if we have a Bible study here this morning. Maybe we could just call it Sunday school. School is where you learn, right? And this is Sunday, and I would like this to be somehow interactive. I'm not sure how that works for recording, but I feel like we should have a Bible study here where it's a bit interactive. And so I would like to talk this morning about respect. And I'm asking the Lord to work in my heart and all of our hearts here to do the things that He wants to do in our hearts. To convict us where we need conviction, to strengthen things that remain, to make changes if we need to make changes. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm asking the Lord to do whatever He needs to do. I've titled the message, Whatever Happened to Respect? Whatever Happened to Respect? A week or two ago, I was traveling with my wife toward Harrisburg on I-283, and we saw a police car pulled off, and he had stopped another car. And as you're supposed to, when you see the flashing lights, everybody tries to get over in the left lane. So we did that, and traffic was slowing down a little bit, and the policeman was standing near the front of the hood of his cruiser, and he was just standing there, and the car that he stopped, the door opened up, and a woman got out, and she was angry, shouting angry, and she had her cell phone, and she was taking pictures of that policeman, sort of like daring him to come closer. And then another cruiser stopped just up ahead, and that policeman was running back to give assistance to the first policeman. And I thought, wow, times have changed. Used to be when the police stopped you, you waited to hear what you did wrong, you know. I think that says something about our society and the respect or the lack of respect that there is today. I was also talking, this is another illustration, talking recently to a Christian brother who is a businessman. He has his own business, and he had employed a middle-aged, I say middle-aged, Anabaptist man. The man he employed had youth already, so he wasn't just a young guy. And he hadn't employed this man too long until that man started telling him, you know, this is what you ought to do. He was telling the boss, yeah, this is what needs to be done. This is what you ought to do. He started coming across to the boss like this, and the boss is wondering, who's the boss around here, you know? And not too long after that, the boss must have said something that crossed this fairly new employee, and he actually picked up a piece of thin plastic rod and gave his boss a crack that left a welt. And, well, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I just heard the story. But it seemed like the boss had the love of Christ in him, and he didn't get angry. If it had been the old man before he was a Christian, before he came to Christ, there would have been a serious showdown. He said he felt like telling him, then, there's the door, but he didn't do that. But that man did lose his job because of that. And I'm thinking, wow, where's respect? So I'd like to talk a little bit here at the beginning about respect then and now. Then we want to look at a few definitions and some scripture and talk about it some more. So respect then and now. There used to be more respect in America than there is now. I think all of us would agree with that. Can you all, is that how you feel about it? The respect in America is dwindling. One of the refreshing things about working in Africa is that there's still respect for the elderly there. They actually respect the elders. Getting old is looked on as almost like a prized possession, something to be looked forward to, because that's when you have wisdom. That's when, you know, you're respectable if you've lived a godly life, a good life. They still respect the elders there. It's very refreshing, although it is eroding there also. So then, in the earlier days in America, we're talking about American culture here, men and boys, when they met somebody older than them, would bow and doff their hat. Sometimes you read old books, and that's what they did. And it was a sign of respect. Now, most of us don't even wear hats anymore. We leave the house and never think of putting on a hat unless it's cold. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. It was just part of the culture back then that men, if you went out in public, you wore a hat. That's how it was then. What happens today when the younger people meet older people? There might be a quick greeting, right? But there's probably no bowing. No taking off your hat, which isn't there anyway, probably. The girls, the young girls, if they met an older person, they would curtsy. Does anybody here even know what a curtsy is anymore? That's kind of a forgotten English word. What in the world is a curtsy? But yes, there was a lot of respect shown. There was a lot of respect shown. Especially for the elderly. If you were in a room sitting down and an elderly person walked in the older days, what was the response? You would stand up. Thank you, Brother George. You would stand up. What happens today in today's world? You might not even notice that an older person walked into the room. You're so busy on your cell phone or talking to the, you know, your peers beside you. Or there might just be a, you know, hi, or you stick out your hand and they'll shake it. But yeah, things have changed. Respect is going down. And I'm not saying we all need to return to exactly how it was before. I'm just showing that respect is eroding in America. It used to be, and still is somewhat, that if all the seats were full and a woman walked into the room or walked into the bus, a man would stand up and let the lady take his seat. Does that happen today? It still happens somewhat, but not like it used to. Men were considered the protectors of the weaker gender. And women don't even want to be called the weaker gender today. So that one's also eroding. It used to be that children and younger people always greeted older ones with a title. With a title. You wouldn't just say, oh, hi, John. Good morning, John. if the person was older, especially elderly, even if you were a child, you were trained to say, "Good morning, Mr. or Mrs. so-and-so," or "Good morning, brother or sister so-and-so," or "Good morning, Pastor so-and-so." You always address the older person with a title. That's almost lost here. In the South, that still lives more than here in the North. But in the South, some of that relational culture is still important. And they've hung on to it longer than we have here in the North. I think we're just so busy running here and there and making money that we've forgot that life isn't about money. It's about relationships. It used to be, I think you read this in the Laura books, that when there were guests at the table, the children sat silent at the dining table and listened to the adults speak. I don't know how it is at your house, but we're pretty far from that, most families. And I'm not saying that children always ought to sit silent at the table, even when there are guests. But there's something to be said about learning respect, especially the younger toward the older. When I was growing up, this isn't real far back. And I know some of you young people are thinking, that's way back. But when I was growing up, my daddy did not allow us children to run in the church building or to climb on the church benches. And I remember getting whooped for that, getting spanked for that after I got home from church a couple times. Learned pretty fast when daddy spanked you. My daddy spanked hard, but when he spanked, tears ran down his cheeks, not just mine. I know God doesn't live in a building today. He did in the Old Testament, in the temple, in the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory dwelt there. This isn't the house of God, is it? This building? Our hearts are the dwelling place of God, and the church, God's people, are the dwelling place of God, His Spirit. So this isn't God's house, but it put a holy respect and a holy fear of God in me when my daddy taught me, trained me, that it was not fine to run and play in the church room. The dictionary says, respect is treating people or laws or rules with proper care, courtesy, and consideration. And so, in light of what we're talking about here, we're talking about respecting people. We can take out part of that definition and say, treating people with proper care, courtesy, and consideration. And I think that's right. That's a good definition of respect. Treating people with proper care, courtesy, and consideration. The Bible, when you look in the King James Version, the Bible use of the word respect almost always, not quite every time, but almost every time, is talking about respect of persons. Respect of persons, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, respecting people is a good thing, but when you say respect of persons, it means something different. It means partiality. Do you remember what James says in chapter 2? My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Don't have the faith in Christ with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and ye have respect unto him and say, sit here in a good place, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you say unto him, sit here under my footstool, or stand thou there. I think I got those turned around. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So respect of persons, when the word respect of persons is used in the Bible, or when it's used in that phrase, it means showing partiality, which is not a good thing, right? So I believe that in the King James, in the scripture, the word honor comes closer to what we're thinking of when we think of respect. And so I would like to look at some scriptures that talk about honor. Honor is one of the synonyms of respect. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we want to read verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And I don't think we're doing violence to scripture to say, in our understanding of it, respect all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, respect the king. I don't think that's doing violence to scripture at all. So, honor all men. You mean even the drug addicts? Even the drunkards? Even homosexual? You're not sure if it's a he or a she, and it has purple hair? Honor all men? Yes, honor all men. They were created in the image of God. And respect touches something very core in us. One of the main reasons why we disrespect others and dishonor others is because we have this high opinion of ourselves. Does us good to remember what Paul says. He goes through this list of, you know, fornicators and adulterers and this list of all sorts of bad stuff. You know, homosexuals is even in that list. And Paul says, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. And if you weren't out on the street looking for your next fix of whatever drug you were taking, that doesn't mean you're better than those people. You might actually be worse than those people. You know, how many of you were raised in a Christian home? You had Christian dad and mom. Let me see your hands here today. Let me see your hands. Almost every hand in this room has gone up. You have no idea what you would be or where you would be today if you were raised in those city homes. You can't even call them homes. Those buildings. And you didn't know who your dad was, and your mom was a prostitute, and you were born on drugs because she was on drugs while she was carrying you in her womb. You have no idea where you would be and who you would be today if you were in their shoes. Respect all men. They were created in the image of God. They might be pretty far removed from it right now. But I want to tell you, anything good in you is Jesus. It's not you, right? Right? That's right. So honor all men. Honor the king. How do we talk about President Trump? Well, maybe we talk pretty good about him, but what about the other president, Biden? I just urge us, brothers and sisters, this is probably more of a brother's thing than a sister's thing. You know, we all have our opinions, and I'm not saying that we need to endorse what our presidents do. Our presidents are, you know, men of this world. They're not men of the kingdom of God. And, yeah, they make decisions like men of the world do. Some of those decisions aren't good. But God uses them to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And we need to pray for them, amen? We need to pay our taxes, even when we think they're doing dumb stuff. But please, let's not talk about it like that. honor the king. If you knew your words were being recorded and played back for President Trump or President Biden or whoever the president is to hear, would you say it? Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, children, help me out here. What does it say? Children, obey your parents and the Lord. Come on, you know those verses. For this is right. And then the next verse starts out. What's the first word? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And it's a great promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So we're supposed to honor our parents. So it says two things there. Children are supposed to obey and honor their parents. The Greek honor means to fix, or I'm sorry, to prize or to fix a value upon, or by implication to revere, to prize or to value. In the Old Testament, when this word is used, that is one of the Ten Commandments, right? Honor your father and your mother, Exodus 20, right? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for honor means weighty, or to give weight to, something heavy. And I believe that when children grow and they become adults, they become responsible to God. And you don't have to obey your parents anymore in the same sense that you did when you were a child. Because you become a man, a woman, under God, and so you're not a child. That obedience toward your parents, it will change. Now you're obedient to God and the other authorities over you. But the honor part, I don't believe the honor part we're ever exempt from. And that doesn't mean you need to do exactly what your dad and mom think you ought to do. But I tell you what, if you are wise, their opinion will have weight in your decisions. You won't just lightly throw it away. That's respect. That's honor. By the way, that's why I don't have a mustache today. Kind of bothersome to have to shave the thing off. But my daddy came through World War II era where Hitler had a mustache. Mussolini had a mustache. You young people might not know. I hope you're homeschooled and you know history well enough to know those names. But those were dictators who did really bad things in the world, in Europe. And my dad came up through those years and he despised mustaches. And after I was married and no more at home, I decided, hey, God put it there. Why not let it grow? Why fight this thing? There's nothing in the Bible that says you got to shave it off. I'm going to let it grow. So I did. And after a bit, I realized, you know what? I'm probably offending my dad. And my dad wasn't a man of many words. He didn't come to me and say anything to me about it. But I asked him one time, I said, Daddy, you know, do you feel, you know, that it would be better if I didn't have a mustache? So just to honor my dad, I shaved it off. And then, after I was grown and had a number of children, Daddy passed away, he went to heaven. Hey, now I can have a mustache, right? Well, I could. I think, yeah, it'd be okay. But what kind of respect is it if while my daddy's living, I respect him, and then as soon as he's gone, yeah. And I just, you know, I was thinking about doing that. And it was like, no. Why should I just respect my daddy while he's living? If I really respect him, let me respect him. So I just decided, hey, I don't care if my children have mustaches, but I'm just going to keep shaving off that hair just because I respect my dad. The Bible says we're to honor church leaders. 1 Timothy 5. Give double honor to those who rule well, especially those who labor in the word, doctrine. Scripture also says in 1 Timothy 6 that servants are to honor their masters. So I'm going to ask you the question. This hasn't got very interactive yet, but I hope this thing's still good. Let me see here. Yeah, it'll be all right. I want to ask you, whatever happened to respect? So we all say, I think pretty well everyone raised their hands, respect is dwindling, it's being eroded in our society. So what's going on? Why is that happening? What are the factors? I want you to think this morning. What are the factors that are causing respect in our American society to go down? What's happening? And I want you to be free with your thoughts. Okay, that was the first thing on my list. Fear of God. Almost gone. There's a little bit left, but it has really, really dwindled. Somebody else. We're going to talk more about these later on. But yes, Brother Musser. Okay. Well, can you be more specific? I mean, don't you think God wants parents and children to have good relations? Okay. So, yeah, that's a good one. How can we say that? Relational parenting without establishing clear authority. Can we say that? I think that's where the fault lies. Yeah. All right, someone else. That's good. There was a hand back here. Yes. Hey. You are hitting a major chord there. Okay. Let's just say social media. Can I say it that way? Okay. That is huge. Huge. Some sociologists feel like the advent of the internet is more society changing, more world changing than anything since the advent of movable type in 1450 by Gutenberg. And I think they're right, and maybe more so. There was another hand here. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So how can we say that? Pardon? Peer pressure. Yeah, peer dependence, peer pressure. I'm going to put that as a sub under social media because I think it is. It's a corollary. Peer dependence, dependence. Is it an A or an E? I always get that mixed up. Peer dependent. I think that's wrong. Should it be an E? Somebody who's a school teacher, tell me. Homeschool moms? Dependence. Anyway, peer dependence. Okay, any more? Yes, Brother George. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to make a separate point out of that, Brother George, and I'm going to say it this way because I think it's broader than home, but that's where it starts. That's the foundation. And I would say it this way. Biblical understanding of authority is greatly eroded. And that's right. It starts in the home. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it starts with the understanding, but I think that's good. So let me add that. We've obviously swallowed some lies from Satan, right? And our understanding is no more a biblical understanding. And that affects what we do, our administration. Good, good. You are really touching some basics. Yes, Brother Keeney. Yes. Yeah. Throwing mud, right? Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to include that under this one, Brother Wayne, because it works two ways. Sometimes leaders don't take the responsibility they should, and sometimes leaders abuse the power that they do have, the responsibility they do have, and they become disrespectful. So I'm just going to include that under there, but that's a very good point. Good. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. Home understanding of, or establishing clear authority in the home is so important for life, just all of life. But let me put here, one, home, two, church. I mean, there's a lot we could put. Workplace. I'm just going to put government here, how we relate to civil government. Some of the main ones. All right, there's more hands here. Yes, also here in the back.
Self-respect. When you don't respect others, you tend to not respect yourself.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. I see sometimes people in public with, you know, torn trousers. I see them getting on airplanes, flying internationally like that. Got their bill cap on backwards. It's like, whoa. Do you have any respect for yourself? Not to talk about others. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Can you speak up a bit? Right. That's a very good point. I appreciate that. What should we call that? Ability to be individualistic. Does that express what you're trying to say?
Yeah,
just a number of different factors there. You can sort of just manage on your own. You don't need anybody. So why do I have to listen to anybody? Yeah. Wow, this is good. Thank you. You're thinking. Yes, brother. Very true. This is good for us to think about these things, brothers and sisters, because it helps us to make decisions. One of the things that burdens me about the church in Africa, in Ghana, where we are, is these people have been poor so long. They've been villagers so long. And it's within their grasp now to send their children off to school and college, and you just go as high as you can go, right? That has to be God's will, to go as high as you can go, you know, better yourself. And our young girls are being sent, not just to high school, but to college. Well, guess what? When you have a college degree and you spent all that money to get it, and your parents sacrificed, I mean went hungry, to get you through college. Now you've got this degree, and you can be a nurse, you can be a trained teacher working in a public high school or a public school, or whatever you've learned, okay? Do you think you're going to be a stay-at-home mom? Your husband wouldn't even agree to it, because he's also, you know, we've got to get as far as we can get. And they're just sucking up this stuff from the West. Does that say anything to us in our playing communities? I don't know how it is here, so I can speak. But it used to be when a young mom had a baby and she needed help in the home, you know, or she was, you know, just covered up with three little toddlers, three little ones and another baby, there would be a girl or two girls or six girls to choose from in the church to come in and help. Or, you know, this house needs cleaned for this sick person, or... And now they're all working. They've got a job at Shady Maple, or, well, that's not all bad, but it's not all good either. Okay? So, families are breaking down. And I think a big part of that has to do with social media, the advent of television in American society. When did that come in? Anybody know? Okay? It was invented, like, I think in the late 30s. Then the war came along, so it didn't get popular until like in the 50s, okay? But television has done so much damage to the society of the world. internet comes along and kind of finishes it off. But there's another factor that I'd like to write here, and this has a big deal to do with why American families and homes are like they are today. Pursuit of the American dream. What's the American dream? Yes. Yes. Pursuit of pleasure and things. And I wish I could say that all the plain people were exempt. But I can't. And it's affecting our churches. It's affecting us. It has greatly affected society. Dad goes off to work. Sometimes works two jobs. Mom goes off to work. The children are with the babysitters from the time they're toddlers, hardly toddlers even. Is it any wonder that our homes are breaking down? I heard a pastor say one time, it's not the cost of high living, it's the cost of living high. Oh, contentment. Wow. Okay. Anyone else have any thoughts on this? This is very good to get us thinking. Yes, brother. It did. It did. Had a major impact on society. Thank you. Music, for the most part, is worship. It's worship. Lucifer was created with inbuilt tabrets and pipes, according to, is that Ezekiel? I believe the Ezekiel account. Ezekiel 28. He knows about music, and he knows how to use music. I don't know, how many of you have ever heard one of the Beatles songs? It sounds so slow compared to what people listen to today. That's a tremendous effect. When I was growing up, the in thing, for the most part, was still country music. And country music was about romance, wine and women. There were other things, but that was country music. Rock music is a music of violence and rebellion. Do you see it in our society? Yes. Yes. So I think that's worth writing up here, music. There was another hand here yet. Yes.
So,
I want to add one here that I think is really basic. We don't even think about this oftentimes, but a biblical understanding of creation is gone. Why am I bringing that up here? Number one, if God made the universe, then we creatures, we're creatures, right? That means created beings, are going to give account one day. And what I do matters. Number two, if God is the creator and the Genesis account is accurate, then we are created in his image. And that's why God says life should be taken for life. Now in the New Testament, that's not our job. We're part of the kingdom of God. But it is part of the job of the kingdom of this world to mete out justice. When life is taken in a murder, that person's life ought to be taken. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. That is being lost. Is it any wonder that Darwinism was kind of a forerunner of the mess we see in society today? Evolution. We just came from monkeys. Well, if we just came from monkeys, why not abort your babies? And why not, do practice euthanasia? And why not? You just lose the value of human life when you discount creation. Yes, there was another thought here. Did you all hear that back there? He's saying that we parents should not, may not allow disrespect in our children. We need to be serious about training them to respect, teaching and training them to respect. I was reading, just finished up reading the book of Exodus, and I made a comment to my wife one morning. There's a verse in Exodus that says, if you hit your father or mother, you are to be killed. There's another verse, not too far from that one, that says, if you curse your father or mother, you ought to be killed. Now, I don't think that's referring to 4-year-olds or even 10-year-olds. But in Jewish culture, once you passed bar mitzvah, 12 or 13 years old, you were considered responsible to God. Can you imagine if you really believed that? And that was to be practiced in your society, with what diligence you would train your children. Because if your 14-year-old got angry and slapped his dad, he should be taken to the judges and stoned. Wow. Amen, brother. God help us to be serious in this matter of teaching our children respect. So the last point is, what can or should we do about this? So let's just talk about that a little bit, and then we'll close. Is there a closing time? Lunch is at 12, right? So we have... I think we shouldn't stop. I mean, I think your minds are already thinking about this. You know, how does this translate into what I should be doing as a parent, or how I should be relating to my boss or the policeman or my church elders? What can we do about the fear of God being almost gone in our culture? Is there anything we can do?
Starts in the home.
Pardon?
Starts in the home.
Good. Hearken, my children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Hearken diligently. Good. Begins at home. Good. And there's, y'all are probably aware, there's really a reaction against the Godly Home series that Brother Denny preached. Are you aware of that? Kind of aware of that? Brother Denny was a human being. He wasn't perfect. And not all the teaching in that series is perfect. Maybe there were some excesses. But the principles are right. It's not heresy. There are people today throwing out the baby with the bathwater, and they're not spanking their children anymore. I'm not saying that spanking is a cure-all for everything and every child, but it's biblical. Needs to be done in love, yes. It needs to be done not in excess, yes, but don't overreact. The generation that I grew up in grew up with Dr. Spock. Did any of you ever hear about Dr. Spock? Baby and Child Care, written in 1946. Dr. Spock was a socialist. And in his early books, it went through 10 revisions. The last one was 2018. In his early books, he was an advocate of spanking within reason. If for nothing else, and just to relieve the anger of the parents so that, you know, you don't do worse things. But by the later revisions, he was against spanking. The humanistic philosophy says that we're born good. Not with a sinful nature. We're born good. And it's our environment that corrupts us. Well, you and I know, according to the Bible, that that's not true. We're born with a sinful nature, corrupt nature. The Bible says we need to train up a child. That word train means narrow their way. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life. And if children are left to themselves, they don't take it. They don't find it. I mean, God's grace picks them out here and there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I wonder where I would be if it wasn't for my godly upbringing. And you. Okay, so we need to teach the fear of God. Brothers and sisters, let's not be the quiet in the land. Let's be bold in testifying for Christ. Amen? How do people learn the fear of God? People who don't fear God, how do they learn the fear of God? Well, once in a while, God will bang us over the head with a 2x4. I mean, bring something into your life that is, you know, really a critical situation, a crisis, and you begin seeking for God. That happens, right? But many times it happens when we're confronted with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. We ought not be the quiet in the land. It's good to carry tracts in your pocket and hand them out to the cashier at the store and the people you meet at work and to say a word here and to say a word there and to go out on the streets testifying. Amen? Relational parenting without establishing clear authority. Maybe we already talked about that. Dads, be the leader in your home. Be an humble leader. Be a gentle, tender leader. But be the leader. Be the leader. I know that we're in the age of women's liberation. I believe there's spirits behind all that. However, I think part of the problem has to be laid, part of the blame must be laid on the men for not taking the leadership or for abusing the leadership. And the women rejected it and said, I'm getting out of here. They wouldn't put up with it. So, men, let's be humble, patient, loving leaders, but let's lead. Our wives, they really want that. And our children need that. And God wants you to be that. And if it looks daunting, go to Him. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask Him. He'll give it to you liberally. And He won't call you stupid if you mess up. And upbraideth not. That means He doesn't mock you. Oh, you're stupid. Look what you did. Oh, God, I need wisdom. Social media. What do we do about that one? Do you know that the average age that the American today gets his or her first smartphone? 11.6 years of age, according to the Stanford medical data. 11.6 years of age. So, what can we, Bible-believing, Jesus-following Christians, do about this problem? It's a problem. Sociologists, pagan sociologists acknowledge that this is a problem. Some of them do. What can we do about it? What should we do about it? I mean, does it work to say, we're just not going to do smartphones? I mean, even the Amish have smartphones. But in our society today, it hardly works to do without a smartphone. However, I think we're rapidly coming up to a time when either you're tied into the system or you're totally out. Because there's coming a time when you will not be able to buy or sell unless you take the mark, according to the book of Revelation. Either the mark or the name or the number of the Antichrist. And I hope on that day, we will all have the courage to say, I'd rather starve. I'd rather have my head cut off. I'd rather whatever than give allegiance to the Antichrist. But we haven't reached there yet. So we have smartphones. That's your camera. That's your, you know, that's your banking for a lot of people. That's, you know, that's your communication. It's your business. You buy and sell things from your smartphone. Maybe you don't. I don't know what you all do about smartphones here. What should we do about smartphones? Yes. So that one person...
Is it being a stumbling block for others?
Okay. That's good. Yeah. why did the room all of a sudden go quiet? I mean, we were talking. Is this a hot button issue? Church? Yes.
We have more questions than answers.
Okay, that's good. Yes, brother?
It's good.
And speak up so they can hear back there too. Okay, if we are getting our social needs filled in the brotherhood and in our families, yes, why do we need Facebook? or, okay, Facebook's maybe obsolete by now. Yes, brother? Good. Very good. Let me ask you a question. Are 11-year-olds, 10 and 11-year-olds, allowed to hunt in Pennsylvania? Take a rifle and go out deer hunting?
With a mentor.
With a mentor, okay. And then it comes time to get your first license, and you're supposed to take a hunter safety course, is that right? Are 13-year-olds, 14, 15-year-olds allowed to drive in Pennsylvania? Why not? Why not? Isn't it safe? You're right, but why isn't it safe? Think about that. Yes, Brother Wayne.
There's a lack of maturity.
Good. That's right. I think, just put simply, they don't understand the danger. They don't understand the danger. You know, you're out on a hike, and you have your little children, and you're getting close to a place where there's a cliff. The trail goes close to a cliff. And you take your little child's hand. Why? They don't understand the danger. That two-year-old would go right up to the edge and look down and get dizzy, and there he goes or she goes. And you knew what could happen. They had no idea. That's why we need to be careful about these. 11.6 years of age, and they're getting their first smartphone. They do not understand the dangers. They just want to connect with their friends, their peers, their buddies. They are so into bondage by the time they're 12 and 13 and 14 years old. And so, so defiled. And so infested with spirits of rebellion. They don't understand the dangers. I illustrate it this way sometimes. If your tool shed, let's say your house, you kept your tools in a shed outside. And that shed was full of poisonous snakes and scorpions. And that's where your tools were. Would you go in there to get your tools? Yeah, you probably would. If you really needed it bad enough, you'd go in there. You probably wouldn't go at night. And you would go with your eyes wide open, very cautiously and carefully. And once you got your tool, what would you do? Get out of there as fast as you can get out of there. Right? That's how we ought to treat the internet. It's not a place to hang out. Terrifically useful. Go, do what you need to do, and get out of there. And you might see some snakes and scorpions even while you're doing that. But get out of there. God help us. God give you wisdom as parents. God give you wisdom as church leaders. May God lead us by His Spirit. Satan has an agenda, brothers and sisters. He wants your children. He wants you, but he wants your children. I think it's time to draw this down. I would like to close by reading a psalm that I believe helps us to understand the answer to what shall we do about it. very first psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God bless you.